In late 1735, a ship made its way to the New World from England. On board was a young Anglican minister, John Wesley, who had been invited to serve as a pastor to the British colonists in Savannah, Georgia. When the weather turned sour, the ship found itself in serious trouble. Wesley, also the chaplain of the vessel, feared for his life. However, he noticed that there was a group of German Moravians on board who were on their way to preach to American Indians, and they were not afraid at all. In fact, throughout the storm, they sang calmly. When the trip ended, Wesley asked the Moravian leader about his serenity, and the Moravian responded with a question. Did he, Wesley, have faith in Christ? Wesley said he did, but later reflected, I fear they were vain words. In fact, Wesley was confused by the experience, but his perplexity was to lead to a period of soul-searching and finally to one of the most famous and consequential conversions in church history. Wesley attended Oxford, proved to be a fine scholar, eventually taught at Oxford, and later was ordained to the Anglican ministry. At Oxford, he joined a society founded by his brother, Charles Wesley, whose members took vows to lead holy lives, take communion once a week, pray daily, and visit prisons regularly. In addition, they spent 3 hours every afternoon studying the Bible and other devotional material. Just think about that for a minute. These are normal, everyday people. 3 hours every afternoon studying the Bible and other material. After some difficult times in his ministry and his personal life, Wesley was rather depressed. And after speaking with another Moravian, his name was Peter Bowler, Wesley concluded that he lacked saving faith. Though he continued to try to be good, he remained frustrated. He said, I was indeed fighting continually, but not conquering. I fell and I rose and I fell again. Has anyone here been there? Well, on May 21st, 1738, he had an experience that changed everything. He described the event in his journal. In the evening, I went very unwillingly, I might add, to a society in Aldersgate Street, where one was preaching Luther's preface to the Epistle to the Romans. As an aside, a very exciting read, by the way. I'm kidding. About a quarter before nine, while this person was reading Martin Luther's preface to the Epistle to the Romans, while he was describing the change which God works in the heart through faith in Christ, I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt I did trust in Christ, Christ alone for salvation, and an assurance was given me that he had taken away my sins, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and death. From this experience, although Wesley had some more valleys in his life, he became one of the main personalities and was used in amazing ways by God to reform England. His Methodists became a national force in England. John rode thousands of miles, as many as 20,000 miles a year. Okay, many of us put 20,000 miles a year on our vehicles. Imagine riding a horse that many miles. John rode thousands of miles preaching as only a man filled with the Holy Spirit can preach, telling the whole gospel to all who would listen. He acted as though he were out of breath in pursuit of souls. Whether he preached and wherever he preached, lives changed and manners and morals altered for the better. It is often conjectured that his preaching helped spare England the kind of revolution that occurred in France. I have some rhetorical questions for you today. Have you ever felt like Wesley? Where in a spiritual sense, you're up and you're down and you're up and you're down. And at those low moments, you look in the mirror and you think, boy, do I truly have the saving grace of Jesus Christ? Have you ever been going through a time in your life when you were down and you questioned your worth, when you questioned your purpose, where, as Wesley did, you questioned your salvation? Believe it or not, John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, admitted to these questions and affirmed them. Have you ever been there? Romans 8 tells us, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Let's have an amen. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. The Apostle Paul continues, who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who, though, will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Paul says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Amen? For I am convinced, Paul says, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. But Wesley knew this, right? He'd probably read that scripture hundreds of times. We know this. Those of us who have been in church have probably read that scripture hundreds of times, maybe even heard hundreds of sermons on it. Isn't this knowledge enough? What do you think? You know, I've been a little down this last year. See, even the phones shoot at me. No medical diagnosis, of course, just personal reflection here lately. Quite honestly, I give God praise for those who have expressed concern. Thank you for realizing that something wasn't right, and praying for and hugging and loving on me, rather than kicking the old mule while he's down. I will forever be in your debt. I remember when I first seriously began thinking about going into the ministry. My first call, I was actually in sixth grade. We had a student local pastor who was great with youth, and he was still in the ministry today, and we're friends. And he is the primary reason why I opened up my heart to hear God's call. But when I seriously began thinking about going into ministry was whenever I was a chemist down in Miami. Yes, I said it right. Miami, Oklahoma. And in my mind, I just imagined how awesome it would be, the wonderful moments where I would be present in people's lives. As I reflect on my ministry God has given me, praise God, I have many of those. I mean, soon after the birth of many of your children and grandchildren, I've been there to pray, to love on. As well as at their baptisms. The marriage of several of you and your children, as well as the deaths of some of those that I've married. I've sat beside you when you were sick. I know this may sound like an odd, wonderful moment, but think about it. How raw we are when we are sick. how we allow God in places in our lives when we're down. That is a wonderful gift for me to be there with you. I've looked into your loved ones' eyes when they knew they were dying. I've prayed with you and I've prayed for you. I've listened to you through troubles and tried to help. And in my ministry, I've been present when the sun set on some of their lives and rose on the next as their spirit was set free. And I've been present when people have given their lives to Christ. And we've been through some pretty awesome worship experiences. Amen. I have truly been blessed in how God and you have let me in your life. These are the reasons I felt the call and dropped everything for that calling to become a pastor. And in our scripture today, Paul reminds us, let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit to serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Have we forgotten this? You see, this is why I do what I do, and this is what I want us, the people I love, to do. Above all else, this is why I got into ministry. This is why I felt called to ministry. You see, with every fiber of my being, I've been called to heal people in Jesus' name. With every fiber of my being, I've been called to restore people in Jesus' name, to help people find peace and contentment. I want to help people feel free and loved and accepted. I want to help people feel hope in Jesus' name. I want people to understand that they have a created life worth living. My longing is that people that feel lost are found. That people who have sinned and think there is no way that anyone, let alone God, can forgive, I want them to know that they are forgiven in Jesus' name. For people who feel that they have no hope, with every fiber of my being, I want this church to be a place that provides hope in Jesus' name. Provides healing and peace and acceptance and freedom. Folks, this is why we are here. All of it done through God's amazing grace. Amen. Do you remember our scripture for today? Paul says, let love be genuine. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hate it. Stay away from it. Hold fast to what is good. But listen, he doesn't stop there. Love one another with mutual affection. Look to your right, please. Look to your left. If your neck will turn that far, turn around and look at some of the folks behind you. Now think about this, guys. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. That's not one-way affection, is it? That's mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. We ought to have, that's maybe what we can do in small groups, have a competition to see how which one of us can outdo everyone else in showing honor. How about that? Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Now listen how he concludes this. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. This church has so much to offer the kingdom of God. Amen. This church has so much to offer Warsaw and the surrounding area. Guess who this church is? You and me. All of us. Sorry, my nose is running. I know that's probably too much information. But tell me something. I know I'm kind of preaching to the choir here, right? I mean, it happens. But spread the word, right? What would First Church be like if everyone was like you? If everyone in First Church was exactly the way you treat other people, if everyone in this church was exactly the way you talk about others behind their back, if everyone was exactly like that, how would this church be? Thank you. Let me turn that around. What would First Church be like if everyone gave the time to First Church that you do? What would First Church be like? If everyone gave the exact amount of time that you do to God's church here in Warsaw, the United Methodist Church here in Warsaw, what would this church be like? Let me ask another question. What would First Church, First United Methodist Church, be like if everyone who is a part of this church gave their talents to the church the way you do? What would First Church be like? And one more question. What would First Church be like if everyone gave the same amount of their tithe that you do to First Church? What would that be like? September 21st marks a new beginning for this church, and I am so excited because the potential that I saw when I came 8 years ago is still here. Yes, we've lost some brothers and sisters in Christ. But overall, the potential is still here. Think what we could do if we stopped the bickering and outdid each other in showing honor. Think what this church could be like by September 21st. We could have every pew full and everyone excited to be here. Sometimes we get lost in the fog. And we forget that we're here to give God praise on Sunday mornings, to focus our lives entirely on what he's done through Jesus Christ for each of us individually. So some questions to think about, some questions to spread, and they're honest questions. I thought about these as I was writing them. What would First Church be like if everyone was like Eric? Oh, dear God. Yeah, that's why I need all of you. Yeah, no, sorry, that didn't come out right. So do you hear me this morning? This church has so much to offer the kingdom of God. This church has so much to offer Warsaw and the surrounding area, and this church is you. This church is you. Stop finding everything that is missed or done wrong and give God glory for the few things, apparently, that we do right. Amen. I love this church. Quite honestly, that's why I'm still here. I love each of you. Oh my goodness, some of the experiences that I have had with you, I'm a changed person because of you and how God has worked through you. And I can't wait for some of the folks I don't know very well yet and some of the experiences that we're going to have together. So just think about this today. What would First Church be like if everyone gave the time that you give, that everyone gives the talent that you give, if everyone gives the tithe that you do? Would people want to be a part of this church? I want to read together today's scripture. I'm going to back up here just a little bit. Let's read it together. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Think on these things this week. Look in the mirror of your life, and see what you come up with. Let us pray. Holy God, we give you thanks and praise for today. We celebrate how you work within us. It is an honored position, God, and we celebrate that you choose us, this church, to work through, to extend your grace and your love and your forgiveness and your mercy and your freedom and your hope. So God, as we conclude this service, as we think about going out into this world after Sunday school, we just ask God, I ask that you anoint us fully in Jesus' name. That you give us strength and courage to walk out with boldness, God, to love each other, to outdo one another in our love for each other, to show your love through us to all that we meet. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, Amen.